I'm hurt and I'm old and I'm fucking tired and I work with fucking children.
Going to live in New Zealand.
What do you make a Nicola Sturgeon leaving? I'm thinking of leaving the country.
Well, you know, we never deserved her. We never treated her right. It's probably only fitting that she's left us. She's too good for us.
The mess that we've made.
Yeah, turned the winds against us.
I think a lot of the people who have been complaining and detracting about her, we're about to see just how difficult that is.
Any theories about why she stood down apart from what she said?
Because she's fucking sick of us cunts.
Yeah, I think she's sick of it.
She's needing a fucking break. She's been putting up with these dicks for years and years now. She just needs to go enjoy some of her life.
I quite enjoyed the speech, though. I thought the speech was very good. It wasn't great. I was sick of you, but it conveyed that if you read between the lines.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Glenn Campbell at the end, I bet she walks out of there that you just made that easy for me, mate.
She was moving away from the lectern when he chimed in. I've just resigned. I could just hit him.
You can't imagine a guy taking a stiletto off and fucking sign up out of
him. I think the journalist questions at the end were all extremely fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
It was so transparently obvious that they were all just looking for a gotcha. Oh, I remember when journalists just used to do their job and they weren't just all about their own Twitter presence. It was just embarrassing.
Yeah. Apparently the answer to the question was no. Right, so you asking it really just made a cock of you then,
yes,
didn't it?
Let's talk about Kate Forbes. What is this? What has happened? It was like watching in the space of 12 hours somebody undo about 10 years worth of work to make the Scottish independence movement as progressive and inclusive and welcoming as possible.
I think maybe she suffers from dyslexia and she meant to join the Scottish Family Party but accidentally joined the Scottish National Party.
It was well known what Kate's views were, because I remember when she first was appointed as the finance secretary.
Yeah, there was some chat.
She had done a lot of interviews about this. I mean, she's really into this stuff. I mean, she just won't shut up about it. Like, you don't have to bring it up. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Hamza, he's always asked about it because I think journalists just think, oh, he's brown, therefore he's a Muslim, therefore he must have atrocious views or some horrible shit like this. But I feel that this is my professional job. This is the party that I represent. This is the constitution of our party. This is what we've been elected to deliver on. And I will support those policies.
I think also he seems like quite a nice, genial, pleasant person who probably just genuinely doesn't harbour unpleasant views. Lots and lots of political positions are available to people who also have faith. Lots of people have faith and understand that some of the more disciplinarian tenets of their faith were laid down in previous eras and think that their God is bigger than that.
And you think that that's
hard. And I think that that's the sort of person. And I think that's the sort of person that Ian Blackford is as well, because Ian Blackford is a wee free and votes incredibly progressively and holds incredibly progressive opinions on those things because he was brought up in that faith and that's his family and that's his clan and all the rest of it. But at the same time, he knows better than to think that things that were written hundreds of years ago apply to now. It is possible. You know, some people have a very, very personal relationship with what they deem to be their God and are able to look past the authoritarian doctrine of churches. I have no issue whatsoever with people of faith who think that way being in positions of power. People who think their faith has to be applied to everybody, they're the ones that...
Yeah, because that implies discerning thoughts. So the concern here is that because Kate's not done that, that it speaks to authoritarian tendencies,
yes,
and a lack of discerning thoughts or the latter.
I mean, I think it's a fucking absolutely insanely reckless of her that she's done this, because she's well aware that her views are not fucking majority views. They are very fucking niche,
yeah,
regressive, harmful, fucking bigoted views. Because she's well aware of that.
She thinks that all these people are sinners.
I know, but like, she's represented in this fucking party that is like a progressive, like, centre left party. What a fucking dumb cunt.
Why are you here?
Seriously, she's been eviscerated by like the media, but
Something funny. I love you, by the way.
I love you too.
You're not wrong, but I guess we can say the things that the other people in the media can't.
We can call her a dumb cunt and does.
Fucking absolute roaster.
I guess in politics, everybody has to like hold their tongue in certain issues. You're never going to have any politician who completely agrees with their party's line in every topic. And I think she's just had the mindset, that's me then, I'm like everyone else, and that I'm just going to not talk about that, or that I'll just have a slight difference. But it's just such a fundamental difference in attitude.
Yeah.
I don't know how she could square that at all. It's bizarre.
She's come out after the backlash that she's received, just going, I think some things have been misconstrued about what I actually think. Yes, I do believe these things, however. She's like, Kate, it's dead. Leave it alone.
Put the shuttle down.
Yes,
step away from the hole. Get fucked.
I don't see how it's like it's meant to be a good thing. The fact that she, you know, deeply believes these things as being fundamental to, you know, life. Yeah, she's quite willing to just not, you know, follow it through just because it would get her a good job.
And see the spineless big at the end.
That thought occurred to me as well. It's like, so you're not really doing the Christian thing 100%, based on her beliefs at least, correctly, but you're also damaging all this other stuff. So it's a complete no-win. Nobody wins. This is a complete no-win scenario for everybody involved, even if she's right about the God bit. The weird thing that's going on Twitter right now, there's a lot of bot activity. We don't really know entirely with what's going on. We haven't mentioned Ash Reagan yet. the distant third runner, I think, at this stage of recording, at least.
Ash, we've got her in here to answer. So, Ash, come here. Ash is gone.
Ash Reagan, everybody.
Dash Reagan. Dash
Reagan. Well, that's good.
It's not mine.
Have you used that yet?
No.
Don't know what she looks like. I've only seen the back of her head.
It's a blur.
That's me again.
She's got someone from the Alba party.
She has. And she was photographed with him and Kirk something or other and Robin McAlpine.
So two women running, the one has at least connections with the Alba party and the other is...
Batshit crazy.
Absolute gift to the culture war that Tories are fighting right now. That seems a bit sus.
And isn't it wonderful to, in some ways, to have someone who's given a straight answer to a straight question? And of course, everyone comes to politics with some personal view. And Kate has come and brought to politics an unashamed view, an unashamed belief in Jesus Christ, in Christianity. And she said that shapes the whole of the way that she does life. And indeed, I've just come from church this morning. And there it was wonderful to hear of the way in which Jesus Christ served so much that he laid down his life for every person. And the motivation of those of us that follow Jesus is to love him, but also to really love our neighbour and to do justice, to do what is right, to serve the community. And what Kate Forbes has done, of course, here is to explain very clearly and without being ashamed what her moral beliefs are. But wouldn't it be a shame if we didn't know the truth about her? She's been unapologetic about it.
Will it mean any of these policies will be revisited in Scottish politics?
Well, I think that... in some ways, you're right, and certainly with the SNP being the SNP, the issue that defines their party is, of course, Scottish nationalism. But and Sir John Curtis and indeed yourself have just said that this would be the most important issue. Well, it's certainly the issue around that which that party coalesces. But what society is talking about and what society has been talking about is some of these critical social issues. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be male and female? What is marriage? When and how should we have children? How should we educate our children?
Either the SNP has been crap the whole time, or
yes,
this is a stitch up. Because I never met Kate Forbes in my life, and I was well aware of her views. So how did people that were putting her into those positions?
I think it was simply thought that in the finance secretary role, As I've said before, very clever people can be incredibly fucking stupid. I don't know.
Can get to Excel and ignore the rest of it?
Well, yeah. That was Grand Chap's superpower, apparently, was that he knew how to use Excel, which really, really worries me about the basic skills of other MPs. And she's been good in the finance role, but she wasn't anywhere near any kind of social policy.
You got to remember the context of how she got that job as well.
Oh, yeah. What's the kind of fellow?
Derek Mackay.
Derek Mackay was the second most powerful politician in Scotland, widely tipped to one day succeed Nicola Sturgeon as SNP leader and First Minister. But inappropriate messages to a 16-year-old schoolboy brought an end to all of that today.
Members will be aware that I have accepted the resignation of Derek Mackay as Finance Secretary. Derek Mackay has apologised unreservedly for his conduct. I can also advise that he has this morning been suspended from both the SNP and our parliamentary group pending further investigation.
Derek Mackay is 42 and has a teenage son, but according to the Scottish Sun newspaper, he contacted a boy online who made it clear he was 16. Undeterred, the politician complimented the schoolboy's haircut, texting him, "Cute, you don't mind compliments." Mackay then asked, "And our chats are between us?" When the boy said yes, Mackay replied, "Cool, to be honest, I think you are really cute. Just as long as you know, but you can delete that message, lol." Opposition parties want Nicola Sturgeon now to go further than suspending him.
Derek Mackay's actions towards a schoolboy are beyond foolish. They are an abuse of power. They are nothing short of predatory. He should go as a member of this parliament.
I understand the First Minister wants to defer to an investigation, but the full content of the text exchanges between Mr. Mackay and this young man are available online today. How difficult is it not to reconcile his conduct with really the very worst connotation?
In a statement, Derek Mackay says, "I take full responsibility for my actions. I have behaved foolishly and I am truly sorry. I apologise unreservedly to the individual involved and his family."
Obviously never an intention to have her in such a high profile role, but there's not much they could have done at that point.
No.
We're hoping it's going to be Hamza. Do you think Kate Forbes has a shot?
I think she did have a shot. I don't think she does now. I think even people who don't mind her views probably know that they'll lose half of the activists in the party if she wins and probably won't vote for her.
I really hope they don't televise these debates, but I think they've just announced that they're going to. This is going to be a fucking disaster. It's all going to become about religion, and it's going to become... you're just going to be hitting your head off the desk going, "Oh my God, I'm with the Greens now. It's over. I'm just giving up." I'm not saying anyone has to follow me to do that, but I'm just saying I think I'm done with them. They had a chance to replenish the youth wing, get some decent, high-quality young people in there to start taking on these positions. They didn't do it. You all bullied Nicola out of the job, so you've kind of got what you deserve with this one, I think, is what's happened. You didn't realise what you had until it's gone, and now we've been left with these three. Hums isn't all that bad. Actually, I quite like him, to be honest. I've always had a good vibe. I think with the media stuff, he's sometimes struggled in the past. Not as confident.
Rabbit in headlights.
He sort of has a face that even when he is confident, he didn't appear to be confident. And I can't quite explain what that quality is, but he seems very wobbly.
Nervous energy.
Nervous energy. Yeah. Even when he isn't nervous, he conveys that energy.
And the only sort of decent thing is if you're bad at and you don't really have a lot of charisma, at least your opposition is only fucking Douglas Ross.
That's true.
Like, you've not really got much to go on.
Probably if you looked at some stuff from Nicola Sturgeon from like 8 years ago, you may have seen some wavering and maybe not quite as good as she is after all that time in the job. So it's hard to say. I mean, I like the fact that his religion seems more like a vibe to him than a thing that you use to batter minorities. So I appreciate that at least.
Yeah. And I've always liked him. I just think that it may have been nicer maybe he was being prepped in hindsight. If Nicola had been humming and hawing about going for quite a while, it may have been in interest to start putting somebody as a natural successor, because when Salmond went, it was obvious.
It was always going to be why the selection of candidates is relatively poor, aside from the fact that some of the better performers are in Westminster and they can't do the job, just technically aren't allowed to, is that we've sort of hit a constitutional impasse, and a lot of the people who might have been better. For instance, Angus Robertson probably just don't want the arse-ache because they know that it's going to be a shit show for a couple of years because they're just going to keep saying no. And until we've got a change of government, we don't know where we are. So you've only got idiots applying, basically.
I think Angus would have been quite a good candidate to put forward for it. But also there's part of my brain going, this is the same shit. It's the same shit again. I've always really liked John Swinney. I don't know why. I just have always got really good vibes of John Swinney for some reason. But he is still part of that triangle of Nicola, Alex, John. And he just feels so dated. Fresh crop, new talent, young people coming in. And we just didn't do any of that. But because the Greens, that's all there. And I was hoping we were going to just get to NDREF 2. And there would have been this kind of tip point where all those kind of people would have come in, the people that are now kind of in their very late 20s or early 30s, they would have started to go into those positions within the cabinet, within the office, and start moving up. I understand your disappointment completely in Angus Robertson not running, but part of my brain's still thinking, like, yeah, it's Angus Robertson. Like, I heard that name so, like, often.
Yeah, I know, but familiarity, name recognition is actually really important, and he's a good performer. Nobody believes that it's because his kids are small.
I think it's really difficult right now because the big sort of cultural war wage issue is trans rights and GNA and all this thing. And obviously Nicola got a lot of fucking heat for coming down on the side of trans rights. But I do still think because of where specifically the transphobia in Britain is very sort of turf aligned, because of where they're coming from, it is easier to argue against it as a woman. Yeah, you call it a fucking handmaiden and like self-hating and all that shit, but like, who fucking cares? I keep being called a misogynist by men on Twitter and I'm like,
welcome to my life.
That absolute fucking outrageous. I do think it's easier to argue against it from a strong position as a woman. And I think other women, Norway centrist women who don't know much about this debate, because most of people who aren't on Twitter all the time don't and they really think about it. But if they're hearing a bunch of women protesting, I want my rights, infringing on my rights, and you've got a man as the face of the party going, shut the fuck up. Optically, it's not great.
Yeah.
I mean, no man saying shut the fuck up is absolutely fucking correct.
I know. But I know they say they weren't wished. I really wish they'd wished.
I know.
Please fucking wished.
Fuck off.
And then please.
Keep fucking off. And once you get to fuck off more.
Yeah. Go through the other side of fuck off. And then all the way around. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you just turn left at the next fuck off, just keep fucking off further.
I did get the vibe that Nicola did actually struggle with that quite a lot. And I think it's something that she's probably never thought about.
I've spoken to pals of mine who've been on this issue years ahead of me, who kind of explained it to me, because I'll be honest with you, I was like, you know, I had no prejudice, but I'd never really given it any great deal of thought because it doesn't affect me. And I think Nicola Sturgeon was very much in that camp. She had no prejudice, but she didn't really...
She didn't really
get it.
2015, I think, was the beginning of it starting to be, and I'm going to use the word weaponized because that's exactly what has happened. I remember it was something on STV and I was around at a friend's flat and she's now completely changed her view on this, but she said to me at the time, yeah, I don't care. You're one or the other. That's it. And very dismissively. And I was sort of listening to what the article was about and it was talking about sort of just trans people. And, well, that's quite interesting. Didn't respond to it with any kind of like bigoted view. This was around the same time you're sort of viewing sexuality even more of a spectrum, that kind of discussion. Yeah. Like there's more options. And that I think is much more reflective of how you create a human identity as opposed to you're this, you know that. But then as it became more and more weaponized, it then felt important to educate myself on it. But you can completely understand why Nicola would be like, we'll just do that and it's fine. And I think to her, it was almost like not a big deal because really it shouldn't be a big deal.
And it wasn't when the legislation first went through the parliament and it was voted for by all the parties and they all kind of agreed with it.
Yep.
And then it just got used literally as a football.
J.K. Rowling has entered the chat.
Yeah, yeah. God. The episode where we eventually get to J.K. Rowling is going to be an absolute...
It's going to be heavily edited for Wicked Ladies.
We're coming for you,
John. We're just going to change your name.
Referred to as Robert Galbraith.
Yeah, I'm Robbie.
Can we just say that this should not have been a really massive fucking deal of a bit of legislation? And it only has been because it's been weaponized. Is Isla Bryson a woman? Do you know what? The only person that can answer that is... she, him, her, they, whatever he, she, they is. The only person that knows is that person, because they are the only person that knows whether or not they are being disingenuous or not with that gender identity that they have, they want. And nobody else can make a window into that person's brain and make that decision. What you can do is make a security decision about whether or not they should be housed with other women. And the answer is no. So can we just talk about the fact that if you were a male rapist of other men, you'd be put in a prison with men?
Yeah. Can we have a wider conversation about how we how we treat people in this key to the state, essentially?
Yes, yeah. That's because they're exactly. That's the president.
But no, all we're going to do is keep saying, is Isla Bryson a woman?
And it's just so, like, speculation is complete. Like, what's the point of even having this conversation when we're talking about legislating against the rights of minority groups? If we withheld rights or took rights away from groups based on the criminal acts of a member of those groups,
yeah.
You just wouldn't have any fucking rights, I'm telling you right now. Immediately. Yeah. No rights whatsoever. So yeah, it's just, it gets so obscured and you end up down 17 different rabbit holes when eventually if we just zoom back up, you go, what? What do you mean? Why are we talking about fucking women's sports right now? You don't give a fuck about women's sports.
This is exactly the point, because I think that's what Nicola's realised is it's moved past her.
Yeah.
She was very good in a window of time, but what she's not seen is the shift that's occurred. So the way that Laura is talking right now, that is actually what you would need to do in these interviews. You need to be like that now, because the idea of being reasonable debate, gone.
Can we also just
weaponized issues?
Can we also just say that no journalist will behave with integrity in this country on this matter at the moment? It'll all be this shit, whoever it is, and no answer will be good enough.
So Mary Black did a 10, I think it was 10 part threads just before we started recording this, addressing the Kate Forbes issue. Mary's approach is cut through it. She's got the ability to smash through that, whereas Nicola's still kind of approaching it from the angle of, let's be reasonable. And the thing is, we're not in reasonable times now. This is now a conflict situation. And Tories have telegraphed it. They're openly saying, we're going to fight the next election on the culture war.
And when you do have a Labour Party leader who comes out with lines like, women could have a penis, or what is a woman? I mean, that's a little bit ridiculous, isn't it? And a lot of people will sit there and say, you know what, there's no real major difference anymore between a lot of these big parties. So actually, why not bring it down to this kind of conversation? You don't even know what a woman is. You're not getting my vote.
Yeah. So you can't have someone sat there going, why can't we just have a reasonable debate? Because it's not reasonable. We've crossed that.
We can't have a reasonable debate with fascists.
I think that this is the problem with the SNP, that the whole almost 10 years now, the issue I've had with them, and really the movement in general, has been this failure to understand that we lost in 2014. And we need to change. We have to evolve and move. Whereas they've sort of rigidly stuck to the same kind of game plan, and they're not seeing what's happening. The culture, the circumstances have changed. The world has changed. And we need people now on the front line of this, like a conflict, to fight it. But you've got to look for different qualities. This is to say about Angus Robertson again. Angus would probably have been better than the three that we got. But whether or not he's the guy to deal with this shit, because I don't know if you can sort of take somebody from Nicola's generation and ask them to catch up and flow with all of this. I think you need somebody that's in tune with it. And I think that's why the public really feel the people like Mary Black get it, because I think they're in it in a way that I don't think Nicola can learn how to be that. Mary could probably learn to be Nicola, but Nicola can't learn to be Mary, I think is how I would sort of sum that point up.
I think if you were to look at Nicola when she was Mary's age, you would see that she was a Mary.
that's the whole point, isn't it? No matter how good you are, even if I've just said, like, yeah, I think she's the best of her generation.
You will ripen past peak.
Yes. That's the same thing you could say of Angus, is John Swinney. It's not that these are bad people or bad for the job, but you need
to bear in mind, though, that a lot of the people that you've got to persuade are not young voters, it's older voters.
And I agree, that's a challenge. Yeah.
Basically, the only thing that every SNP candidate who has currently put themselves forward for First Minister can fucking agree on is Scottish independence.
Uh-huh.
And Kate Forbes was asked point blank, would you challenge this constitutional ban that they put on the GRA? Like, would you challenge that? And she's like, no. It's like, right, so
fuck off then.
Yeah.
Yeah, get to fuck.
Like, the one issue that people actually agree with you on, you're not going to stand up for, so
fuck off.
Frankly, what are you doing here, Kate? Yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
It's quite possible in the future as well there'll be more challenges. Like, you could
have
extremely right-wing government in England.
Listen, this was the base earlier. You know, like when you're out in the pub and you have maybe 2-3 pints and then you go to the toilet, and once you've been to the toilet once, you can't stop going to the fucking toilet. This is that. Once you've broken the base seal, it's going to be happening all the time.
So you can't afford to get anyone that equipment.
No, you cannot fucking, you cannot let it go. No.
It's all sounds extremely negative, but I think if we can take some positives from the situation we're in, one would be the fact that we had a government which was able to take a bill through Parliament, the Gender Recognition Reform Act, and get it passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it had voted through it. A law has been held up. That's a positive thing. Also, I think in hindsight, one of the best things that's happened in recent history of politics was Alex Salmond's getting booted out of the SNP and taking a whole bunch of the most regressive people with him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't his intention to do that, but I think that's taken a lot of the worst people and thrown them right in the bin.
He, being who he is, it's like, oh, I smell blood in the water now. Like, he's right in there during all this. And is on Sky News talking about the safety of women. Alex Salmond, and you're like, maybe this is one you should, we'll bench you for this one, I think.
Yeah,
I think maybe sit this one the fuck out, you know.
And also, you do have these two candidates who we would agree are not the best, and Hamza I'm not entirely sure about, but those two candidates seem to be extremely unpopular, not just in terms of like SNP membership and amongst MSPs and MPs. Even just in the general public don't seem to particularly like them either. So there is some positivity from that.
Yeah.
I think there is a good direction that, you know, the SNP can go in from here.
Yeah.
It's not all doom and
gloom. I think the hard thing is they have to commit to that, is what you were saying, that the minute they kind of waver, that's the problem. We're kind of at a crossroads now. This is quite key. One thing that Nicholas did, and I thought was a very good point, was we're sort of at a bit of a generational stalemate, where she was really saying that there's a certain percentage of the population that have made up their mind. And it did not matter how well Nicola did. Even if Nicola had never made a single mistake for the last 8 years, they would still hate her fucking guts. And it is, sadly, people of a certain age, and they are not wavering. And Nicola, I think, noticed that. I don't know, a barrier to moving the needle. But I still have this feeling that maybe we can't compromise the right thing for these aging individuals that are set. I feel that's a mistake, and this is, I fear, where we could misstep really badly, because if we misstep at this point, it's lost. I think it's almost like game over. We need to believe that if we hold the line for the next 5 years, the change we're going to see over the next decades in terms of progressive politics is going to be night and day, because more young people are going to keep coming in. Every year we get more 16-year-olds that can vote. That's happening all the time. And at the other end of the spectrum, there's less of them. So inevitably, it's going to happen. So it would be enormously stupid that for the sake of less than 10 years, we fumble the ball. Because what may happen is, if we start regressing on this, that it's all compromised and we lose trust in any form of government, any trust in any elected official. Because that's what happened in England. They've been fucked since Blair. They've never recovered from that. Whereas we broadly have still trusted the Scottish government. This is quite dodgy now, when you're seeing, you know, someone running for First Minister that is more or less universally disliked and not trusted. Like, we haven't really been in that boat, you know, ever. And I feel this would be a huge mistake. And I am actually quite nervous that there are elements within the SNP that just out of blind hatred of what Nicola sort of represents, I guess they would say wokeness or whatever it would be, that they actually might fuck this up.
There was a headline in the Telegraph the day of her resignation. It was like, Nicola Sturgeon resigns, another example of go woke, go broke. It's like, imagine writing that and not just immediately topping yourself with other, like, embarrassment. Yeah.
And to quote you, kill yourself. Have you considered killing yourself?
Have you thought about killing yourself? maybe just ruminate on it a little bit. But I mean, yeah.
I can get you the number of dignitas.
Any final thoughts?
When you're sort of saying about, you know, there's young people, there's people turning 16 every year. Obviously, I'm not disagreeing. People are turning 16 every year, but also...
they're, well, we're getting that much.
Yeah, I'll concede the point.
That's none of any of them. That's just counting to quote James. They're blind.
Have
you
met any of them?
Yeah. Because... Have you seen so 16 year olds? Yeah, no.
Darling, mine will be counting the rings in their teeth.
Uh-huh. I worry about the direction the pendulum is swinging in at the moment. We can't just assume that every generation will become naturally more progressive than the last.
People are being radicalised on TikTok
by Andrew Tate and shit like that, which is absolutely insane.
Not from jail, they're not.
Email address is, I have small dick energy. Why would that be your own email address, Greta? Strange. I mean, also, I don't want to assume her gender. It's 50-50, but it is what it is. I'm not actually mad at Greta. Please bring me pizza and make sure that these boxes are not recycled. Thank you. So I'm not actually mad at Greta, right? Because she doesn't realize she's been programmed. She doesn't realize she's a slave of the Matrix. She thinks she's doing good. Someone has sat her down and convinced her to try and convince you to beg your government to tax you into poverty to stop the sun from being hot. And then, because I called her out on it, the global matrix got this bot farm.
It's difficult when you're giving somebody more access to more information than any human being has ever had access to in the history of the world. And they're a tiny little child and they've had that all the time and they have no way of discerning quality versus absolute dog shit. We don't really know what's going to happen with that. It's never happened before.
But this is what I mean about the hold the line. Broadly, our national identity over the last 10 years has been solidified globally as inclusive, progressive country. Not that I would say the best in the world, but I really believe that we have at least the potential to be the best at all this shit if we want to do it. And I feel that the danger now is that if we let Kate Forbes in there, that's the beginning of all that unraveling. And to your point, that's the risk. Because right now, most young people would be defaulting to the values that we would probably all hold. But this is the risk now that these right-wing arseholes have got, to their credit, very good at this shit. They're very, very good at getting that kind of cult-like, obsessive, great man, great woman, whatever you want to say, theory about all this shit. And it's all the dangers we've been talking about this podcast since episode one. And if we can just hold that line for a wee bit longer, I think
that this is just the fire up our arse we need to realise that. I mean, it's something I've said for ages is that, you know, Scotland is a lot more small C conservative than people really want to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need to realise that to then realise that you need to keep working at this stuff. It's not, you can't take it for granted.
I think that one mistake that progressive people often make is once a culture war has been fought and won and rights have been won,
we think it's done.
We think it's done and we go, right, okay, well, got rights for those people, so great. On to the next thing, onwards and upwards. And it's like, no, no, the people on the other side of that never fucking sleep. They never rest. They never stop looking for opportunities to disseminate the propaganda, chip away at it until you're fucked. These battles, they're never over. They're never just won and that's it. We assume, as we go on, things will just naturally get more progressive, and that's just a really dangerous assumption to make.
We are not arming the rear of our battalion.
No.
Yep.
They're all drinking lattes.
My God, another show in the bank. If you would like to support the Angry Scotland podcast, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/angryscotland or by checking the link in the description and sending us a donation via paypal.com. Any donations received will go towards enhancing the podcast, but mainly drinks. Until next time, stay safe, and we'll see you on Twitter.